an addition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Basically, it would be a good attraction to bring more people through our region. And hopefully you get them here once. They want to come back.
Rowan County is interested in joining a new recreational authority.
A Hillsborough woman accused of stealing $250,000 is set to be arraigned this week.
A Lexington hospital has lifted a lockdown after threats to the facility this morning.
A foster care bill received overwhelming support in Frankfurt.
The Innovation Launchpad is hosting a workshop for investment pitching.
In sports, Moorhead State baseball and softball teams are preparing for OVC matchups this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 29 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Hillsborough woman accused of stealing from a Moorhead doctor's office will be arraigned on Friday. Authorities say 39-year-old Lori Back worked for Moorhead Primary Care for several years before the alleged theft was discovered. She's accused of taking over $240,000, which is a Class C felony. Back was arrested last week and was released on a $15,000 partially secured cash bond. According to court documents, Back filed an affidavit of indignancy, which is a petition for a court-appointed lawyer. Back tested positive for amphetamines at the time of her arrest. However, the documents did not specify if the substance was illegally in her system. Authorities say no patient accounts were affected by the theft. If convicted, Back could face up to 10 years in prison.
A Lexington hospital said this morning it has lifted a lockdown triggered by a threatening phone call. According to LEX 18, police say someone called St. Joseph East around 5:40 a.m., threatening to harm everyone there. The hospital followed protocol and went on lockdown. Lexington police responded to the scene and investigated, but have not reported any other action. Police continue to monitor the situation.
Ashland police have made three recent drug arrests. According to the Daily Independent, Malika Brown of Columbus, Ohio, is charged with public intoxication and possession of marijuana and pills. In an unrelated incident, police arrested Todd Lawhorn and Arena Cisco, both of Ashland. They're both charged with possession of marijuana, among other things. Lawhorn is also charged with driving under the influence. All three are currently lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Three Republican state lawmakers have been cleared in a sexual harassment scandal. In Frankfurt, Paul Miles reports.
The Legislative Ethics Commission voted to dismiss complaints against Representatives Jim DeCesare, Michael Meredith, and Brian Linder. They, along with former House Speaker Jeff Hoover, signed a secret settlement involving a sexual harassment claim made by a former staffer. The woman was paid $110,000 by the lawmakers. The commission will continue to hear the complaint against Hoover, who denies the sexual harassment, but admits he sent inappropriate but consensual text messages to the woman. I'm Paul Miles.
A bipartisan legislative initiative to reform Kentucky's adoption and foster care system has been delivered to the governor to be signed into law. House Bill 1 reforms the state's foster care and adoption system to ensure that a child's time in foster care is limited and that children are returned to family whenever possible. KET reports the legislation is based on recommendations of the State House Working Group on Adoption, which met most of last year. Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield of Hopkinsville is an adoptive father and commended the bill's sponsors for their work.
There are various timelines that are put on the system that impact both the Cabinet for Health and Family Services and the court system to make sure these children and their cases aren't lost in the shuffle of a court docket or of a bureaucracy over at the Cabinet for an overlong period of time, to make sure that those children find the home that is in their best interest.
HB 1 received final passage on Monday on a vote of 90-1 in the House. It had passed the Senate unanimously earlier in the day.
For the first time in Kentucky, certain child protection cases will be open to the public under a project that begins this year. WMKY's Brian Courtney reports.
Kentucky issued an order March 13th authorizing the open court pilot project. This year, family courts will open from May 19th to the 31st in Hopkins and Jefferson counties and the four county circuit courts in Harrison, Nicholas, Pendleton, and Robertson counties. The State Department of Family and Juvenile Services at the Administrative Office of the Courts is administering the project with the hope of improving court accountability and case transparency. The office will report annually to the legislature, as well as work in focus groups with involved family members and professionals. The public will not be allowed to record any of the proceedings and cannot publish or record the personal information of any party. WMKY News, I am Brian Courtney.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
Speaking of the Rowan County Fiscal Court, they're expected to officially express the county's interest in joining the Kentucky Mountain Regional Recreation Authority. As part of the state tourism cabinet, the goal of the KMRRA is to promote economic development, tourism, and recreational opportunities in the region by establishing, maintaining, and advertising trail systems. Walter Blevins is Rowan County's judge executive.
It's an idea that we weren't involved with it initially. They basically looked at some of the poorer counties in southeastern Kentucky who need economic development. We're doing pretty good, so we weren't on their list at that time, but I've talked to the director and said we need to pass a resolution, and we're going to pass that resolution and try to become a part of it.
Blevin says the authority wants to push the use of the trail systems around Rowan County and inside the Daniel Boone National Forest for ATVs and other off-road vehicles.
Regional entrepreneurs are invited to a free workshop tomorrow at the Innovation Launchpad in Moorhead. The event begins at 5:30 and participants will learn how to pitch business ideas to potential investors. Launchpad manager Keith Moore says a good idea alone isn't enough to attract investors.
You're looking at how do I sell my idea to potential investors, whether that be an angel investor, a venture capitalist, or maybe it's a bank.
For more information on tomorrow's workshop, visit the organization's website at innovationlaunchpad.rocks.
It's the fourth year for the annual First Friday Outdoor Market in Moorhead, which kicks off at the Rowan County Arts Center this Friday. First Friday is an opportunity for local vendors to sell homemade goods such as food, jewelry, or fabric items to those in the community. Arts Center Director Ashley Gillum says over 10 vendors have already signed up, but the Arts Center will be accepting registrations all the way through the day of the event.
And then, of course, having a booth there supports local and encourages people to buy local and shop local. And it kind of gives you an idea of what we have to offer here in Rowan County. And surrounding counties are invited as well.
First Friday will be held at 4 p.m. on the lawn of the Rowan County Arts Center. In case of rain, the event will be moved to the center's auditorium.
The Carter County Fiscal Court brokered a deal to free up emergency road funds. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Members of the Fiscal Court met with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet in Frankfort on March 22nd. Previously, the county's emergency funds had been frozen due to the state's concern about funding dating back to 2008. Judge Executive Mike Malone says they already agreed to pay $74,000. According to the Olive Hill Times, while in the meeting, the state agreed to a repayment plan where $37,000 would come out of their road funding allocation that was due late this summer. The balance would then come from the next allocation due in January 2019. The county is currently taking bids for the repairs of several county roads. Those bids will be due April 12th and will be awarded April 17th. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
April is Autism Awareness Month, but some advocates say even greater acceptance is needed. Executive Director of the Kentucky Office of Autism, Amy Cooper Puckett, says with many mysteries to solve about autism and controversy over its causes, some people view it in a negative light. But she explains within the advocacy community, the term autistic is embraced.
most of them don't view themselves through the medical model, which is deficit-based. They perceive themselves as autistic and that's not bad. So using the word acceptance versus awareness is a indicator that you're willing to accept them as they are.
About 69,000 people are on the autism spectrum in Kentucky. Throughout the month, sensory-friendly events will be held to raise awareness about the disorder.
And snow is incoming. That's according to forecaster John Pelton. Pelton works for the National Weather Service in Jackson. He says there's a cold front moving in Friday into Saturday that could support 1 to 3 inches.
So we're expecting lows getting down upper 20s to around the freezing mark over a lot of eastern Kentucky on Friday night. And into Saturday, highs in the 30s to around 40 degrees. And with that, we're expecting initially some rain, but then actually temperatures cooling off at the surface and throughout the entire atmosphere to support some snow late Friday night into Saturday morning.
Pelton says to expect a couple inches of wet snow, which could cause some potential power outages. And taking a more detailed look at the weather, tonight we'll see partly cloudy skies giving way to clear skies and lows around 29 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be sunny, highs around 54, getting down to around 44 during the night. On Friday it'll be cloudy, highs around 60. That night we see the precipitation move in, a 100% chance of snow and rain, accumulation around 1 to 3 inches, a low of 31. On Saturday, we'll see more snow accumulating until the afternoon, highs around 35. That night, cloudy with clear skies later, lows around 19. And on Sunday, at the end of our weekend, partly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers in the evening, highs around 42 degrees. It's currently sitting at 42 right now in Flemingsburg. It's 44 in Lexington, 46 in Ashland, 45 in Winchester. And it's also 45 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. Each week, WMKY will bring you event information and stories from sexual assault survivors. On our feature segment today, WMKY's Jacob Lindbergh reports the facts on sexual violence, how it affects people, and how it can be prevented.
The Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs defines sexual violence as any time a person forces, coerces, or manipulates another into unwanted sexual activity. That includes blackmail, threats, and physical restraint. Additionally, sexual assault and rape occur when there is no consent. To give consent is to give permission. Under Kentucky law, a person is unable to give consent if they are less than 16 years old, physically helpless or mentally incapacitated, or severely mentally ill. Josh Akers, Victims Services Educator at Pathways in Morehead, says anyone can be a victim of sexual violence.
You know, we all have this idea of how they act based upon what we see on maybe some of these crime dramas like CSI or shows like that. But the fact is, not all sexual assault victims are beaten up, crying, hair a mess, makeup everywhere. Most of the time, folks react to it in all sorts of different ways. Some report it right after the event, some wait till weeks after, some never report at all.
Survivors of sexual assault often face a range of symptoms. They may experience emotions like fear, anxiety, guilt, and shame. They're at a greater risk for mental health issues, including depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. Akers says people can respond very differently to sexual assault.
They may be in the emergency room laughing, joking, having a big old time, but that doesn't mean that their story isn't real. Everyone reacts differently to trauma, and these traumatic events can bring out all sorts of different responses in people. It's based upon who you are as a person and how you have learned to deal and cope with these different stresses over the years.
Akers says the best thing a person can do for victims is to believe them.
After you have done that, after you have said, I believe you, begin to advocate for them. You know, it may be that you know the number for Rape Crisis Center. Give them that number. Have them call someone that can help them. Have them call someone that can connect them with the resources they need to be able to overcome this.
The Rape Crisis Center hotline can be reached at 800-562-8909. According to national surveys, 1 in 6 women has been raped in her lifetime. Akers says that number increases to 1 in 4 for college-aged women.
That's just the numbers that are reported. It's thought that as many as half or maybe even a little over half of college-age women especially experience sexual assault, but half of them that experience it don't report.
Akers says the best thing a person who is a recent victim can do is go to their local emergency room, where hospital staff are often trained to notice signs of sexual violence and gather evidence. Once again, victims of sexual assault may reach the Rape Crisis Center at 800-562-8909. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 4:46 and 45 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
League is going to break. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. No action for the Morehead State baseball team today. Their game at Marshall has been canceled. Last night, Coach Mike McGuire's 17-13 Eagles got homers from Tyler Neiman, Trevor Snyder, Connor Pauly, and Jake Hammond in outscoring the Thundering Herd 14-11.
A lot of good things offensively. You know, you saw Braxton and Reed didn't really have big days today, but we had a lot of other guys contribute, which, you know, for the last week or so, it's been those two guys kind of carrying us offensively. So, you know, it was big to get the contribution we did up and down.
MSU stars Braxton Morris and Reed Leonard combined to go 0-for-7 from the plate. Bryce Hintzer, though, went 5-for-5 with 3 runs scored and an RBI. The Eagles start a 3-game series with UT Martin on Thursday at Allen Field at 4 p.m. They'll wrap up the series with a doubleheader on Friday starting at 1. It's an off day for the still 1-3 Cincinnati Reds. Cincy's game against the Cubs last night was postponed due to the weather. The Reds now visit Pittsburgh tomorrow to start a 4-game series. After opening the season on the mound, Homer Bailey gets another chance to pick up a win as he takes the ball. Manager Brian Price just wants Bailey to build off of his season debut.
Really good idea of what he wanted to accomplish in spring training, and that was to, you know, really get good command of his fastball and reintroduce the curveball into his mix. Really all of his pitches and very, very good fastball command. So if this is a sign of things to come, you know, it's a heck of a good start.
First pitch for tomorrow is set for 7:05. The Morehead State softball team is looking forward to a weekend road trip. They'll try to add to their 2-2 OVC record on Friday when MSU plays a doubleheader at Eastern Illinois, then visits SIU Edwardsville on Sunday for 2 more games. The area's recent run of bad weather has caused Coach David Williams' Eagles to practice indoors.
We'll do a lot of hitting in the cages. We'll do a lot of pitching work with the pitchers and do a little bit of light defense inside and lift some weights and things like that. But trying to stay as focused as we can and as sharp as we can despite the weather.
MSU is 18-8 overall after taking 2 games last Friday from Tennessee State. While Sangi wants to sign a big man with one of the 2 vacant scholarships, Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin says he'll be patient in passing out the other. Spradlin believes waiting to pull the trigger could have a potential big payoff for the Eagles.
Right now there's probably 150 Division I transfers, and I would anticipate that number being somewhere close of 800. In the next few weeks. And so I think it's wise on our part to be patient and see what's available out there and to give ourselves the best opportunity to really improve our roster.
College basketball's spring signing period begins a week from today. Some other notes from college basketball. New Louisville coach Chris Mack is expected to name former Wake Forest head coach Dino Gaudio as an assistant this week, according to the Courier-Journal. The Arizona Board of Regents will vote this week on whether to add language to men's basketball coach Sean Miller's contract. That would require him to return $1 million if he's charged with a crime or found guilty of major NCAA violations. That's currently being investigated. And Auburn sophomore guard Mufasa Harran has hired an agent and will enter the NBA draft. The Ashland Daily Independent has picked its all-area girls basketball team. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more on that.
Boyd County's Lady Lions topped the ADI's first team list with four players, Harley Painter, Sisters Charity and Peyton Shears, and Player of the Year Savannah Wheeler. Rowan County sophomore Promise Cross also made it. Boyd coach Pete Fraley shares the Daily Independent's Coach of the Year honor with Johnson Central's Darren Rice. Boyd County won the 16th region and made it to the state's Final Four, and Johnson Central won the 15th region championship. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
The Morehead State football team has the potential to be very explosive offensively next year. That's the belief of head coach Rob Tenure. Tenure says starting quarterback Lawson Page returns next season with plenty of playmakers to help him.
We got Jaron Higginbotham coming back, and Landon Hurst is coming back. True freshman Sugar Ray Weish is back. Jalen Washington's back. Nathan Sames, and so he's got some good players, and our backfield's healthy, and that'll be important for us too. Logan Holbrook and Arian Beasley.
A senior to be at wide receiver, Higginbotham was a second-team All-PFL performer last season, catching 48 passes while also averaging almost 21 yards per catch and scoring 10 touchdowns. Holbrook and Beasley combined to run for 607 yards and 9 TDs. Spring practices are midway through the third week for the Kentucky football team. Coach Mark Stoops has been happy with the progress his Wildcats have made.
I feel like across the board we're improving defensively like I would expect. Offensively, we have a ways to go, but I'm confident we'll get there. We're halfway through spring ball, and you know, we're just kind of seeing who can do some things and make plays and put it all together. But I like where we're at.
The biggest question mark for the Cats remains at quarterback, where sophomore Gunnar Hoke and Terry Wilson continue to duke it out. At this point, Stoops says the two players are dead even for the starter's job. Some notes from the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams have acquired deep threat receiver Brandon Cooks from New England in return for their first and sixth round draft picks. The Pats also get the Rams' fourth round selection. Officials in Clark County, Nevada have okayed the sale of $750 million in bonds to help pay for the construction of the Raiders' new stadium in Las Vegas. The team wants to begin play there in 2020, and the Baltimore Ravens have signed former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Robert Griffin III to a one-year contract. Finally in sports, tomorrow starts golf's biggest stage as the Masters gets underway in Augusta, Georgia. Tiger Woods competing in the event for the first time since 2015 is the big storyline around the tournament. After dealing with multiple back injuries over the past couple of years, Woods says he feels good and likes his chances of winning the green jacket.
I feel great. I feel like I've really put a lot of the pieces together. We've worked on what body parts to get stronger, what body parts need to be more limber, and I feel fantastic. It's just a matter of now going out there and competing and playing and posting numbers.
The tournament gets started tomorrow morning at 8:30. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball hosts UT Martin at Sonny Allen Field this weekend. Game times are 5 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks made a roaring comeback, bouncing off steep losses that earlier stemmed from China's announcement of new tariffs on U.S. goods. And at its session lows, the Dow fell 510 points, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ dropped as much as 1.6% and 1.9% respectively. But at the close, a totally different story. The Dow finished with a gain of 230.94 at 24,264.30. The S&P 500 was up 30.24 at 2644.69. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 100.82 at 7,042.11. Apple helped lead the comeback in the market, rising 1.7%. Chip stocks also rebounded, with Micron and Advanced Micro Devices rising over 2%. Automakers Ford and GM rose 1.7% and 2.5% respectively after falling sharply earlier in the morning. But Boeing and Caterpillar, two companies that can be adversely impacted by a trade war, both held lower. John Deere pulled back 3.3% in today's trading as well. The major averages hit their session highs after it was reported that President Trump may soften on a key NAFTA negotiation point. In economic news, the ADP National Employment Report showed private companies added 241,000 jobs in March, and this was more than expected because the expected figure was closer to 200,000 jobs, and the Services Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, slipped to 54 in March from 55.9 in February. The non-manufacturing ISM index came in at 58.8 for March, which also missed expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was up slightly at $63.54 a barrel. Gold was unchanged at $1,337.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.5%. And in Asia, stocks were mostly weak as well. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 2.2%, while the Shanghai Composite was down 0.15%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Microsoft and IBM, while the worst performers were Boeing and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Lennar Corporation and D.R. Horton, while the worst performers were Acuity Brands and IPG Photonics. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 51 cents at $69.23. CSX down 26 cents at 55.47, AEP up 24 cents at 68.69, Marathon Petroleum down 4 cents at 72.56, AK Steel down 7 cents at 4.43, and Anthem was up 83 cents to finish at 228.34. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for More It's State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you that April is Distracted Drivers Awareness Month. Research by Car and Driver magazine shows that a texting driver is as dangerous as a drunk driver. The Kentucky Office of Highway Safety encourages drivers to keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. Work can wait.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast, tonight we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low of 29 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be sunny and a little warmer, highs around 54. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, low of 44. On Friday, we'll see cloudy skies and even a bit warmer, highs around 60. That night, a 100% chance of precipitation, including rain and possible snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches. That will be a low around 31. And going into Saturday, more snow accumulating until the afternoon, highs around 35. Saturday night, cloudy with lows around 19, and on Sunday, partly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, highs around 42. It's currently sitting at 44 degrees here in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some events coming up around your region, the MSU Black Gospel Ensemble will present their spring recital at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, April 6th. The recital will be held in the Duncan Recital Hall of Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Admission is free and the community is invited.
For Paws for Ability and Moorhead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, from 4 to 5 p.m. on Friday, April 6th. Early readers can practice their skills and the service dogs can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community.
The annual Community Baby Shower will be held at the Moorhead Conference Center from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday, April 7th. Sponsored by St. Clair Healthcare and UK Healthcare, the event will feature educational sessions and health information related to pregnancy and newborn care. Door prizes will be offered and admission is free.
And the Moorhead Conference Center will host the 2018 Kentucky Proud Expo on April 13th and 14th. Hours are from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday and 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday. Kentucky Proud products and vendors will be available with samples and door prizes. Admission is free and the public is invited.
The Department of Music, Theater, and Dance and the MSU School of Creative Arts presents the 2018 Jazz Clinic with concert at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 7th in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Admission is free, and everyone's invited. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Brian Courtney, Peyton Stewart, Chaz Jenkins, Sean Delaney, Paul Hitchcock, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Paul Miles and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.